Well, okay. Greetings, dear friends. It's good to be here with you once again. And by way of our internet programs, and we trust that the Lord will just bless our gathering together here. We, as far as our local gathering here, there is no local gathering here today, and we have unfortunately a lot of our folks that are that have fallen prey to some kind of a sickness and are not able to be here today. And so we are here that we might just share with you who are used to being part of this Sunday morning session. And so we're going to just continue with it. Basically, I'd like to talk to you for just a few minutes, and I virtually mean just a few minutes, and concerning, well, concerning our salvation, concerning the reality of our salvation, but I've been looking at, and we've been looking at that together, and can call it so many things, the summing up of all things in Christ with regard to everything given of God, everything of God's purpose, everything that God purposed in himself, in his heart, before the foundation of the world, before the world was, before there was ever a man created of God. Before the Adamic creation existed, there was in the heart of God a plan and a purpose that not only centered in, but was and is summed up in the Son himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ. In Christ. And I don't really believe that most who use the term in Christ understand what the term in Christ means. I don't think that, I think that when most believers actually are finally begin to consider that term in Christ, I think their focus is upon themselves. When the real focus of that term, our being in Christ, has, there is but one true focus. And the focus is upon the One Himself, in whom not only God has purposed and planned, all things from before the foundation of the world, and it is that one that I want us to look at for just consider. So let me just start with that considering, rather than just sitting here and spending another 30 minutes on just talking about it. Let's look at this reality. The summing up of all things in one. So Ephesians, there's something I want us to look at in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. All right. And this has to do, obviously, with our with our salvation and with the actual definition. Now, Ephesians 1. To have any understanding, any spiritual understanding, any understanding given by the Spirit of God concerning our salvation, we have to look far back, beyond, and before ourselves. Now, we come to be involved in our salvation. Oh, yes, yes. But before the world was, God planned, purposed, set forth in His own self and in covenant between He and the Son, that very salvation to which we have come in Christ. And in order to understand that salvation, we have to have a greater view of our salvation than ourselves. And most people's view of our salvation is focused upon them. It's either focused upon them in view of their sin or their past sin, all of this kind of, but the focus is generally upon man. When in fact, this plan, this purpose, this reality of salvation all existed in the heart and mind of the Father before the world was created, let alone before a man was created. So in order to understand something of our salvation or anything of our salvation, and particularly for us to understand that salvation which is gathered up and finished in Christ, our view has to be focused upon the one in whom God hath purposed all things, and the one in whom God hath fulfilled all that he purposed with regard to salvation. Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, now please just look at this, who hath, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Places has been added there. Let's just say how it's written. In heaven. With all spiritual blessings in heaven, in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the administration, now this is the only true, dispensation here is is not correct. It is not the word. It has been used here in King James. The word here is a word standing for administration. It can also stand for stewardship, but it has to do with the administering of a household, or the administering of, well, here in this case would be the administering of the household of God. It is speaking of the Spirit of God himself, the administrator of the fullness the administrator of the fullness of times, he might gather together. That is, he might sum up. He might sum up in one. That he might gather it all up. Sum it up. Another translation there, or one of the words translated there, is to that there be a summation, or there be a comprehension of all things in Christ. That in the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together, that is, sum up in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, and being predestinated according to the good pleasure of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. All right. That in the administration of the fullness of times, this is the administration of the Spirit, he might gather in one, he might sum up in one all things in Christ, both that is in heaven and on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained. All right, now, that in the dispensation, in the administration of the fullness of times, as I said again, that administration being the administration not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. The fullness of the times. If I were really going to sit down and talk about this, the theme of it and all would simply be the times. The times. Because there's, in the church world and in many believers and in the teaching, in many aspects of Christianity, the time here is the mystery. Most, or many, are still looking for the fullness of time, or for time to be no more, or for an event that has to do with time will be brought to an end, and time, you know, here we go with it. Well, what I wanted us to just consider for a second in this is that time has already come to its fullness. But where has time come to its fullness? In Christ Jesus. In Christ. Now, look at Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. All right. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, or in bondage under the elements of the world. And Paul here is speaking primarily concerning the elements of the world, the elements of the law, and the administration of the law, but is under the tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, even so when we were children. But when the fullness of the time was come, now notice this again, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The point I wanted to look at here again is, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem. Then, when did the fullness of time? When did the fullness of time take place? Now, to look at this in Ephesians, the administration of the fullness of the times, and then here, the fullness of the time. Whether we're looking in Ephesians or whether we're reading here in Galatians and dealing with that, but regardless, the fullness of time, as God determined time to be, time, whether we're talking about the times of Israel, the feasts, the the Sabbath days, the different days, all of that that was given of Israel, all of the feasts, and the days and weeks and the months involved in the feast, all of this was a time given of God. When did he bring that time to its fulfillment? We read that in Ephesians. Hath by another administration, the administration of the Spirit. And he sent forth his Son in the fullness of the time to bring forth the times that so many are still waiting on. Where was that sending forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law? The fullness of time. See? The fullness of time. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive So, when is time fulfilled with regard to our salvation, with regard to everything that God has ever said, thought, declared, prophesied? Where is that brought to its perfect completement? When is it, as it were, that our salvation is taken out of time and brought in to an absoluteness of fulfillment, a fulfillment upon which we're not still waiting until someday. No, someday has already come. The fullness of the time. But how did that happen? When did that happen? It happened when God sent forth His Son. These two things that we've read actually are speaking about the same happening, the same time, the same thing. Through the administration of the Spirit of God, not by the administration of the law, not by the administration of angels, not by the administration of Old Covenant or Old Testament prophecies. None of that. That all spoke concerning a time to come. When did the time to come come? Well, it came with the coming of Christ. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, made under the law. For what purpose? To bring an end, to bring an end to time and bring us in to a reality of being in somewhere, being in Christ, a translation into the kingdom of His dear Son, of being quickened together, raised together, seated together in heavenly places in Christ. When will that be? It's already happened to those who are born from above. It's happened. So that rather than waiting on the day, we are found walking in the light of the day. Rather than waiting for the time when Jesus will actually indwell His people, we are living in the reality of being in Christ now. The fullness of the time had come. And in both of these, Paul is talking about an understanding, one understanding pertaining to a child, one understanding pertaining to those who are under the law, and another understanding for those who have come who have come to see Christ and are growing up in the knowledge of Him. Well, all right. The fullness of the time is now come. So, then I want us to look at something again. Let me see. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead. Another meaning of that is, when one died for all became dead with him. And that he died for all, they which live, who have life in Christ, they which live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, as though they had a life of their own, but unto him which not only died for them, but unto him which died for them and also rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth no more do we know him. Therefore, and here's where we're coming, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. See? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things, and this is speaking of being in Christ, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Then let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Wherefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one expectation of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill, that is, that he might make complete all things. All right. Just considering the fullness of time, that the fullness of time was brought forth in full demonstration by the cross. By the cross. And through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now, just the reality here, hon, is not simply that, it is certainly that, but it is not just that, where in another place Paul uses the reality of the cross, what I've just been talking about here with descending and then ascending. Descending in order that he might die, ascending far up above all powers, with the intention that we may that we may find newness of life in him. But there's something that has happened here at the cross, and it's not just one or the other, but it is both the descending one and the ascending one, fulfilling what God had purposed from before the foundation of the world. So it's not just that the times of the Bible, all of which pointed beyond themselves to one who was yet to come, but when he came, he did something more than what many assume that he did. He took away. I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. The first order of things. The first time with regard to things. He took away the first, that he may establish the second. Hon, we have come in Christ to an absolute newness of life, that is an absolute newness of time. In Him, time is altogether different. In Him, creation is altogether different. It's a new creation in Christ. Old things. What is that? Old things. Everything that's not Christ Himself. It's the whole Adamic creation. Not only that, but everything that was under the law and developed under the law, the whole system. And that those systems were governed by time. Days, weeks, and months, and Sabbath days that all spoke to a time that was yet to come. So when Christ came, when He descended, it was to take away the first. And He did that in His death. In His death. And when He ascended, He did that in the power of His resurrection. And He presented Himself to the Father as the very finished work itself, as the very finished work, the finished work of time, as time finished, time done with. The day had come. The day is come. The light of that day is come and lives in us, and we live in Him. a new creation in Christ Jesus. Not a better old creation. Not our lives made better. But a new creation in Christ that is neither Jew, neither Gentile of any kind. There's no Jew found in it, be that Jew good, bad, or in between. There's no Gentile found in it, because it's not a made over old creation with a new set of time, still waiting for the end of the world. All of that came with the cross, hon, and was done away with. It's not found in Christ. What is found in Christ is that of which Christ Himself is the fulfillment, the fullness, the completeness, the perfection. It's Christ, hon. The Father has brought us into, by His death, His burial, His resurrection. He that descended into death and burial and resurrection is He that hath ascended and presented Himself and presented those who are in Him as His very own body unto the Father as the finished work of God that was purposed. That was purposed from before the foundation of the world. That which God knew, that which God hath chosen before the foundation of the world, is actually come to pass in Christ Himself. What God purposed to do, He has done. Where he purposed us to be, that is where we are, in Christ. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Well, that means something's got to have been taken away. Something is no longer there. It's not a made over, a better creation. It's not people living in the flesh, but living better lives. No, it's one living in you and living in me, that we may be where He is, as a new creation in Christ. So that's it this morning. The substance of the new creation is Christ, the one new man, whose very body we now are. I want us to focus upon the person and not a thing. The substance of the new creation is Christ, the person. And again, it's Christ whose body we are.